this evening.
Messed up this morning, and I heard Ron say it this evening, and I'm going to mess up again. It's good to see everybody out. Just leave the time of day out of that. It's good to be able to gather together, come out to study God's Word. Always wonderful to come and study. Hope that everybody's been encouraged as we've gone throughout our worship so far. Going along with a lesson I had recently done on when we went forth and talked about our attitude towards sin, going along with that lesson, but bringing out a couple extra points that I don't believe I brought out during that lesson, is talking about the anger of Jesus. And the reason it goes along with our attitude towards sin is that's really the only time we see our Lord and Savior, his anger show, his anger come out, is when it comes to talk about sin. So I want to look at that, if you will, open your Bibles and turn with me. In Philippians 2, verse 5, we'll start there. Philippians chapter 2, and reading verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And so, again, it's about having a mind like Christ. When we choose to obey the gospel, when we are baptized into Christ. We are buried in the likeness of his death. We are resurrected in the likeness of his resurrection. And we are made new people. And we become new. And so therefore, in our lives, we choose to follow Christ. If we turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 21. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, it says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us the example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor deceit was found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By those stripes you were healed." Whose stripes you were healed. And so, as we would think about our Lord and Savior, we'd often think about his loving kindness. We think about his sacrifice that he had made. As you're reading these verses right here, that he gave himself, and when he was beaten, when he was scourged, and when he was spat on, and we had a crown of thorns beat upon his head, we don't see him rise up in anger and fight back. We don't see his anger rise up and lash out and yelling and swearing and threatening all those who were doing him harm. His anger never truly came for selfish reasons. It wasn't ever into a point of action of him defending himself and him getting mad with what they were doing to him. Rather, we'll look at a few examples of when he does get angry, though, and seeing that. And so, looking at the anger of Jesus, looking at his anger, Mark chapter 3, if you will. Mark chapter 3, and look with me, reading, starting in verse 1. Mark chapter 3, and in verse 1. It says, "And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Step forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' But they kept silent. And when he looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to them, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him." And so again, here Jesus, like many times as he lived his life, as we study throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that scribes and the Pharisees, the Jews would gather together and see and test our Lord and Savior. You know, we often go to Matthew chapter 4 and we look at Jesus and facing Satan after fasting for those 40 days. And we say, see here, Jesus was tempted. But understand, as these questions and as these moments came up, you got to believe that's temptation also. That is an opportunity that Jesus could have said, well, I'm not going to do it today because I don't want to start up anything. Or better yet, his temptation here to go further than what he had to lash out at them, to truly go forth in a rude way of rebuking these people. There was temptation right here. To me, I can picture the situation as we might configure some situations that we've been through today and looking at seeing people just waiting to see, what is he going to do? And saying, well, someone's got to do it. Someone's got to step up. Someone's got to say something. And yet everybody else just stands around and does nothing. And so when we look here, it says Jesus looked around at them in anger, with anger. He was upset with the people that had surrounded them here. He was mad at them because they had gathered together, and here was a man that was ill, a man that had a bad hand, and yet they were only focused on, what is Jesus going to do? Let's see if he will do this wrong thing on the Sabbath. Again, it was about keeping the day holy. About remembering all the good that God had done for them. Remembering that God had given them rest. That God had given them rest from all the labor that they had done in Egypt. And that he had delivered them, that they were no longer slaves. And so a day that is supposed to be holy. Keep the Sabbath day holy. And here's a man that simply needed healing. And Jesus had to ask him, he says, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do bad? Because in the situation, if you have the power, if you have the need that your brother needs, and you just ignore the situation, how is that good? Again, we can look through the scriptures and see that it says, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And so Jesus asks that question, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath, or to do evil, to save a life, or to kill? And so he was angry with them because they were not focused on the good that could be done. They weren't focused on the life that could be saved here just by healing this man's hand and the life-changing moment that it would have been for them. They were focused on evil. They were trying to use something that was supposed to be holy and focusing on evil. Their hearts were in the wrong place. Their desires were in the wrong place. They did not have love for their brethren, and therefore that angered our Lord. And so when we talk about anger today, and we talk about what causes us to get upset and causes us to get mad, this is a situation that should stir up anger in our hearts. When we see a brother go neglected and someone's not willing to step up and help, or someone gets upset with you because you are willing to help them. You know, again, I have four children. My two oldest, my oldest in particular, trying to get him to understand when a good time to be mad is. And I understand because I have sports and this and that, I can get too competitive and I can let it out too much too. And so I had to control my anger to set a good example for his anger. Because boy, oh boy, kids just get mad about them. Is that really worth yelling at them for, Joe? Is that really worth getting mad about? We can look to see Jesus as an example that we can be angry, but what are we going to be angry about? In John chapter 2, and here's an example that we can be angry and have action with our anger. That it is not be angry, and we'll get to the verse, do not sin here in a bit. But it's often, we think that might mean be angry and don't say anything. Be angry and don't lash out at them. Be angry and do nothing. Go to your room, scream into your pillow, and let it go. Look at the example here in John chapter 2 and another reference in Matthew chapter 1. John chapter 2 and reading in verse 13, it says, now the Passover of Jesus was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords,
He drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. And Jesus answered and said to him, what sign do you show to us since you do these things? And Jesus said to them, destroy this temple in 3 days and I will raise it up. And so as we look at this example again, Jesus was angry here. There's just no denying it. As you look at the situation, you look at what he had done. And again, this is one of those verses that we can go to and say, well, did Jesus ever sin? Well, we started with 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, who no sin was found in him. He did not sin. He is the Lamb without blemish. Jesus did not sin in this situation. Meaning that there is a rightful way in which we're allowed to rebuke one another. I believe probably most of us, if we were in a situation, we come into this building and we started chasing people out. Again, there's a right way and a wrong way. We need to be careful and make sure we don't cross that line. But Jesus was angry. He comes to a place, again, that is supposed to be the house of God. A place of worship. A place of prayer. A place to learn. And what he finds when he gets there is people taking advantage of their brethren. People taking advantage of other Jews because they know when they get here they have to make sacrifices. Because you got yearly sacrifices, you got sin sacrifices, you got this sacrifice and that sacrifice. And they've been traveling, and so they probably couldn't keep everything with them. And so when they get here, I can see that plotting. I can see the idea. And it might have started off as a good idea. That's what I always say here. Because it was so much today, we start off with a good ideas. We sit here and say, man, you know, we just did this little thing on the side over here in this one of these rooms that we're not using, and we can use that to help other people, or we can, you know, that extra instrument will make it sound just a little bit better. And you have this idea, and it comes down to the motives that go behind it once you start it. Do you have scriptural authority? They didn't. Here they go forth and they go a little bit further and they probably up the prices and they take advantage of their brethren and it's all about the money. They were not doing this out of the kindness of their heart. They were being selfish and it caused anger in our Lord. Again, we go back to my previous lesson about our attitude towards sin. Do we hate sin? Do we hate it? I mean, we want nothing to do with it. And when we see sin, it hurts us. And it's not just because of our hate for sin, but as verse 17 here, zeal for your house has eaten me up. He is just so zealous for righteousness. He is so zealous for our salvation. Jesus loves us so much that it hurts him and makes him angry when we go down a path that's going to lead us to a life of torment. Again, do we have that much love and zeal for one another? That it just hurts us and makes us upset, it makes us mad to see brethren stray away to sin. Again, we have examples here of righteous anger. In Matthew chapter 23, we talk about how what is it we say to one another when we go forward and teaching against sin and teaching against others. Again, most of the time we can study the life of Christ and see how gentle he was, see how he answered people, and most of the time he just, you know, brought up another question to them and let them think about it. Most of the time they just walked away. And Jesus was calm and collected about a lot of that. But we also see the example that we just came from in John 2 of him chasing the people out. And we come here in Matthew 23 and verse 28. And these are words of the Lord. It says, even so you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! because you build the tombs, the prophets, and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we have lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves, that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? I mean, he didn't hold back there as he's speaking in these parts. He let it be known, you guys are being hypocrites. You guys are like the fathers, those who already killed and persecuted the prophets before. Again, Jesus didn't hold back. So when we talk about our attitude towards sin and our hate for sin and understanding, you know, the things in which the Lord has called an abomination, it should cause us to be angry, because when we look at the example of our Lord and Savior, He got upset. He got mad. He got angry. And again, it comes back to because how much He's zeals and zealous, how strong He feels for righteousness and holiness and getting us to heaven. After, I mean, He gave His life so that we can get to heaven. Here He is. He's living a life on earth, coming down from heaven, living a life on earth, and He sees the way we live our lives as He's sitting there making a sacrifice for us. Have you had those moments sitting there and you're doing something and, you know, I guess I'll speak for my wife here. You know, she's at home. She's cleaning the house. And then me and the kids make a mess. She's got to be going, why do I even do this? Jesus is down here living faithfully, about to die for us. And He sees all the sin that the world continues in. The sin that's putting Him on that cross. Did He ever say, why am I doing? We need to understand we can get angry. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, if you turn along with me there. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Here it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Though we see the example of Jesus and His anger, we are to strive to put anger behind us. Again, we are to put anger behind us. And the reason we need to put that anger behind us is, turn to James chapter 1, verse 19, is often or not trying to find that fine line of, you know, well, Jesus chased people out of the temple, to crossing that line. In James chapter 1, verse 19, it says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Because often we'll cross that line and it turns to wrath. It turns to vengeance. And we need to remember that God has said vengeance is mine. And we need to let Him take care of those who continue in a life of sin. We need to pray for them and hope that they will change. We need to focus our minds upon the things that lead for edification and that help us and help others and give us hope. We need to try to get rid of our sin and try to control our anger. Going back to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, again, making it known that we can't be angry without sin. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Again, it says be angry, do not sin. So it says we can be angry without that sin. It also says don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. While there's still day, if there's anger in your heart, there's something that is causing you to be mad at a brother, mad at your neighbor, mad at a family member, try to make that right. Try get that anger out of your heart. Because the longer you dwell on it, the longer, the easier it's going to be to give in to the wrath and give in to something that you shouldn't do or say something that you shouldn't say. And so, yes, we can be angry without sin. And we look at the example of Jesus.
And understand, though, again, looking at when he gets angry. When we talk about a righteous anger, it's about an anger about sin, about hypocrisy, about those who are deceiving others and leading them in error. It was never selfish anger. It was never about himself. It was never about those who had hit him, those who had mocked him, those who spat on him, or even Judas as he betrayed him. His anger never showed in those moments. Those are the moments that you often see him showing love, kindness, forgiveness, compassion. So let us try to make our zeal for righteousness, our love for God, be our motivation and our drive. And then, again, when we think about sin and we see the sin pop up on the radio and on the TV and see brethren or neighbors getting caught, that'd be the thing that caused us to get angry. And our reaction should be to go and teach the Word of God, to try to spread more love and truth. Teach the truth so people know right from wrong. I don't want to leave without extending the invitation this evening. If any are here that need to obey the gospel, maybe you've struggled with anger yourself and you need prayers of the brethren to overcome such temptations. Maybe we've been too slack on sin and it doesn't cause us to get angry enough. And we want prayers and studying with brethren to help us to grow in our passion for the Lord. Or if you're here and you've yet to obey the gospel, you need to be baptized and you hate sin and you want it out of your life and you need the blood of Christ to wash it away. If there's anything we can do for you, you let it be known to stay in sin.